Save big money on your summer project at Menards. Transform your garage with rock-solid floor coatings. Complete your project with a showroom-quality finish in 1 weekend. A one-car kit covers up to 250 square feet. Get everything you need to complete your project with rock-solid floor coatings. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
As Thanksgiving and the holidays arrive, while the year comes to a close, we're taking a look back at some of the most compelling conversations of 2023 on the Hidden Killers podcast.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we are talking with Susan Constantine and Phil Waters. Susan, a trial consultant and body language expert, president of the Human Behavior Academy. Phil, a retired detective and a current president CEO of Kindred Spirits Investigations and Security. I want to jump back into discussing the details, the specifics of what we saw go down at the Alec Murdaugh trial. Immediately when the investigators arrived, and then throughout the conversations that were happening initially, he already had the killers in mind. The first thing he's telling them on the 911 call and when the first responder arrived was, well, my son was in this boat accident. It's got to be revenge in few words than not. Is that normal? Is that healthy? I can understand where some people would, if there's something on the back of your mind, some sort of worry of someone threatening you and then something bad happens, I could see that logically. We're like, oh my gosh, this fear actually happened. But obviously it's Alec Murdaugh we're talking about. It seemed more like, I'm going to lead you guys down this path right away rather than what may be evident directly in front of you.
Yeah. Well, I'll speak to that. And then, cause I know, Phil's really good at this stuff too, but that whole investigative thing for me, it was watching his demeanor. Kind of, he would troll out and he was on the phone, right? So, you know, who did he call first? Who did he call second? And this trolling and pacing back and forth was, people will pace when they're upset, truly, but there was this proxemics, like he had to move really away from them. So why, that to me is in secret, in privacy, why would that be? And then when you give up information, and I see the thing is Phil's like in that interview room, right? Mm-hmm. So he's like honed in on the dude.
Yeah.
You know? But you know, and my training, I think correlates with it, is that when they give you information you didn't ask for, mm-hmm. it's really important information. Mm-hmm. So why is that important? You're right. Alibi, reasons, trying to get you to divert a different direction. And of course, all of it is not about him. It had to have been somebody else. And then he talked about the car accident, which we found out, or the flat tire and the duped shooting, mm-hmm. and all that. All that stuff was not true. We knew that wasn't true. But where he gets into trouble is that he gives up way too much information. And everything he says can be analyzed. And if it doesn't fit, you know, we can find the loopholes. And constantly throughout that time, he was directing in just so many different areas, but he didn't show the grief and the pain and suffering. You don't think logical then. You are such an emotional state. You're not thinking logical of who could have done it, mm-hmm. why they would have done it. I mean, these are all things that he thought about prior.
Yeah.
These are prior thoughts that he had that was coming forward. And that's what you were hearing him think as he was planning it out before it happened.
Phil, what's your thoughts on all of that? Where it almost like he himself was a gun and he was loaded with the information that he was going to be giving out there at that moment in time.
Well, he had his story down.
Yeah.
He's drawing on his ability to express himself. Again, he's a talented lawyer. He has no problem communicating. So all he has to do is put together a story that sounds plausible. Mm-hmm. The best lies that are told have elements of the truth in them.
Mm-hmm. Sure, without a doubt.
He's able to do that. He's able to marshal that stuff together and tell a story that sounds plausible. Certainly, everybody knew about Paul and the killing of the young lady, that friend, and the boating accident. Everybody knew about that and the kind of problems that had created for his family, for him. So he is already trying to direct the investigation away from himself. And so all of those things are all components of the bigger plan, the business about, you know, I was at the house. Mm-hmm. I went to my mother's.
Yeah.
I did all this, trying to explain the timeline. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, what blows that timeline all apart is that video that,
sure,
you know, Aaron Lee was taken by Paul.
Yeah.
Which puts him right there just seconds before he blows Paul's head off and then murders his wife, guns his wife down.
Sure. Sure.
But in the interview in the room when they got him that day, he's kind of thrown out the outline of his story. And of course they want to talk to him. And this interview in that room is non-custodial. I don't recall seeing where he was Mirandized. He was never in custody. Mm-hmm. He was not under arrest, and he was free to leave that interview at any point in time. So that was all non-custodial stuff, and that's the best setting to conduct these types of interviews. I used to do them all the time. In fact, I would encourage people in classes that I taught that if you can get the non-custodial interview, that is very, very powerful, because they're down there. And I'd always opened up those interviews with, I want to make one thing clear. You're not under arrest. You're not in custody. You're free to leave. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you coming down here voluntarily to talk to me. And they all sit there and nod and all that good stuff. And that is great stuff. Shows there's no coercion going on. There's no force. There's no pressure. There's no duress. So it gives them an immediate way out. And in watching that, in seeing the interview in the office there, we're getting the full, kind of the full Monty there. He's doing the leg movements. He's bouncing his feet. He's got his hands cupped in front of his crotch. And then at one point in time, I don't remember what was said, but he actually grabbed his crotch, which was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Kind of pulled his pants away from his groin area.
Yeah.
So those are all of those components together. And then he's trying to give you he's still trying to put on the crying facade. And a guy, I think it was with San Diego PD or I'm sorry, San Diego Sheriff's Office, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was a guy that taught interview and I've been to a couple of his classes, and named Carl Stinselli. And he talked about crying and watching people crying in the room. And he had a really good quote, and I use it in my classes. And he said, "Lips that lie are sticky and dry. The liar's palms are not. Genuine tears can be verified only when accompanied by snot." So when I'm looking at the interview in the room, the one sled agent goes and gets him a box of tissues, and he's wiping his eyes. There is no snot.
Yeah.
All of this crying and going on in that room is a bunch of crap. It is crocodile tears. He's trying to present an image and so forth and so on. And then you contrast that with the trial and his testimony.
Yeah.
And now he's emoting. And he is slinging snot all over the witness.
That's what I was going to bring up. It's like no snot to like the most snot I've ever seen coming out of.
Yeah, I've never seen.
Yeah.
the flow of snot out of someone's nose.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
I want to talk more about Alex Snot in just a bit. That's a sentence I never thought I would say. But I do. I want to dig into that deeper with you, Phil. I want you guys who are listening, press subscribe so you don't miss that part of the conversation. We're going to go there next. And then we're going to talk some Daybells and the body language and what we can make of Lori Daybell as the program continues. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.